Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Over the years, I've had the privilege of meeting some very nice and caring funeral directors. Most of them, by far, are Christians. But I hazard a guess that in big cities, that same thing might not always be the case. Some directors enter the field because they're continuing a family business. In some cases, though, the reasons given were actually quite different. For one person in particular, they shared that they became a funeral director because they didn't like the way most people treated death. They didn't like how people acted as if nothing big had occurred. Like they should have a party and move on as if nothing of consequence had taken place. He observed that people felt that they should realize something different was occurring. Something significant and even tragic has happened when somebody dies. It's not the way things were meant to be. And he also observed that funerals should recognize that truth and not trivialize death. The same funeral director added that they greatly appreciated how Lutherans conduct funeral services, saying that the reverence of your service fits the occasion. You state the truth about death, that it is evil and a consequence of the fall into sin. But you also point people to where the only certainty of hope and comfort exists in the face of death, through faith in Christ Jesus alone. Fellow redeemed, there's a reason why our funeral services are structured the way they are, and why we resist every call to change them. It's spelled out in our epistle. We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. You see, the word of the Lord determines our funeral services. We mourn, but not as those who have no hope. And we hope not because of how good Uncle Bob was or because of the good works he accomplished in life. The Word of the Lord teaches us that we are to have hope because of Christ's work, because of His life, death, and resurrection. And if our loved one was brought to faith in Christ Jesus, then we mourn in a way that is radically different from the unbelieving world. Christians grieve when someone dies because we know that this is not as God intended things to be for the gem of His creation. Mourning the death of a loved one should never be viewed as wrong. Grieving, sadly, is part of life in this fallen world. Some might mistakenly believe that those who possess a strong faith should not mourn the loss of a loved one, but that's not true. You see, the Lord created us to be with one another, to serve one another, and to love one another. When a friend or a loved one dies, there's a real loss. There's a separation that cannot be recovered in this life. And there is a sadness that we observe at the death of a loved one, an acquaintance, maybe even a stranger, because we are with our eyes seeing the wages of sin. They are fulfilled right before us. And we grieve because we miss the person who has died. In fact, Jesus wept at the death of his friend Lazarus. So Christians mourn, but we don't mourn as those who have no hope. Because if there is no hope, then in truth there's only despair, an absence of hope and comfort. For Christians, even if our loved one was not a believer in Christ, we still have hope, not for them, but for ourselves and for our other loved ones who have been brought to faith in Christ, and even have hope for those who are our loved ones who are yet living in darkness because they have not died yet. There is still time that God can work through His Word and sacraments to bring that person out of darkness into His marvelous light. Death is the ultimate proof that God's Word of law is true. And apart from his saving gospel, there's only uncertainty and despair in the mind of the unbeliever. And that proves to be an insurmountable obstacle whether they wish to admit it or demonstrate that they're struggling with it or not. This is why they tend to minimize or trivialize death as much as possible. And that's what that funeral director was concerned about. He was disturbed by how few people would even talk about the real reason they were in the funeral home in the first place. He witnessed too many people simply checking off the box of putting Grandma Thora away. But what he saw that was worse was they turned the event into something that was comedic or lighthearted. He observed very little reverence and absolutely no hope being pointed to that is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So in a way, he thought that death had become the elephant in the room that nobody wanted to talk about. While sharing vignettes about the life of the deceased has its place during the visitation or at the reception, the Lord has better things to say about His redeemed to people that He has gathered before His altar. Rather than elicit laughs from the weaknesses or foibles, or even, he observed in some cases, very sinful actions of the one who died, we observe dignity toward the one who was fearfully and wonderfully made by God. God created life. Christ redeems life, and the Holy Spirit sanctifies life through the means of grace. And thus the Lord of His church would have each of us proclaim the only uncertain hope that is found nowhere other than in Him. And because the Holy Spirit has worked faith in us and all His redeemed, we have the certain and eternal hope that the one who dies in Christ is delivered from all sin and has been freed from the bondage of this dying world and is now clothed with Christ's righteousness. And for such who are permitted to die, who are permitted to fall asleep in the Lord, are now what? They are enjoying the very presence of the one who wipes every tear from their eyes. So even as we grieve proclaiming the true hope that the Lord has come to bring this fallen world. And that is a hope that He is also bestowing to the living who are living in darkness. Now let me be clear, there's certainly a place for sharing fond memories, for remembering the life and accomplishments of the one who has died. As I've said, Christ has given His church a better message to proclaim, one that points to and speaks of the only true, certain, and eternal hope. So the life that we celebrate at a funeral before the throne of God enables us to rejoice because of what Christ has done for that person. So in reality, the focus of any funeral should be upon Christ. To focus and remember what He has done, not only for our loved one, but for us as well. He enables us to remember that we rejoice because our believing loved ones, the one who died, did not just possess life yesterday or for a brief moment prior to their death, but lives forever because Christ promises to raise the redeemed to eternal life. We don't hope in what has happened. We hope in what is, in what is to come. It's the eternal life of Christ that gives us this certain hope, even in the midst of our tears and grief. But there's also the message that Christ would have those that He has drawn into His presence to hear, that He has borne all of our diseases to the cross. In Him there's healing from all afflictions and disabilities. There's even healing from death itself because of the one who has lived, died, and risen again. In Christ, whatever afflictions we or our loved ones face in this fallen world, they're gone for eternity. That is our hope for the one who has died. And that is our hope for us when we die. A hope that doesn't disappoint, because our hope is placed in Christ Jesus. And this is a hope that the world needs to hear. This is a hope that the world is dying to hear, although they would deny it. But by God's grace, mercy, and compassion, that is the message that He has given us to proclaim until Christ returns in glory. So always remember, you do not grieve as those who have no hope. Now, there's no question that we live in a world that's enslaved to sin and is getting more and more hostile to the Word of God every day. Therefore, we shouldn't be surprised at all if hardship befalls us. You do remember what Jesus said, that sadly it would be this way even for His faithful people in the end times. So we can also admit that the hardships of various sorts befall not just God's people, but everyone. And Christians approach even these sorts of hardships with certain hope, remembering that He promises through St. Paul to the church in Rome, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. As Christians living in an ever-darkening world, we have the privilege of proclaiming Christ, our light in our life. Hardships and sufferings simply provide us with other opportunities to confess the hope that we have been given and received through faith in Christ. Now, suffering also often opens the ears of an unbeliever to hear about Christ, because His Word also exposes the false gods, exposes the frauds that they are, but also exposes that which separates from God, our sin. So the hope that you confess when grieving death is the same hope that you confess when faced with any loss. Because Jesus Christ, by His life and death, has paid the wages for all the sins of the world. He really and truly suffered God's righteous judgment for you. Therefore, even though the vast majority of the world continues on the road to perdition, often appearing to put more and more grease on the rails to speed that journey, you rejoice to no longer be of the world. And you give thanks that He continues to work salvation, bringing people to faith in Him where and when He wills. You are redeemed by Christ. You are one of His blood-bought descendants. Our Lutheran forefathers fought to return the church of their day to the truth of Scripture, declaring that people cannot be justified before God by their own strength, merits, or works. People are freely justified for Christ's sake, through faith, when they believe that they are received into favor and that their sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. By His death, Christ made satisfaction for our sins. And God counts this faith for righteousness in His sight. And so that we may obtain this faith, the ministry of teaching the gospel and administering the sacraments was instituted. Through the word and sacraments, as through instruments, the Holy Spirit has given. He works faith when and where it pleases God. And those who hear the good news, that God justifies those who believe that they are received into grace for Christ's sake. Now this happens not through our own merits, but for Christ's sake. And our churches condemn those who think that through their own preparations and works, the Holy Spirit comes to them without the external word. Now, Christ has died, and Christ has risen from the dead, and He has given His church of all ages that message, the good news to proclaim. He wasn't incarnate by the Holy Spirit and made man and born of the Virgin Mary to be just one man among many. Nor did He come from heaven above to make you feel better about suffering and dying. He came to suffer and die in order to conquer death. And now He has risen from the dead and ascended into heaven to serve you, to be with you, and to strengthen and preserve you unto eternal life. The living Savior comes to you by His word and sacraments. And through those instruments, He bestows forgiveness upon the penitent, to give life and hope. So don't minimize the hope that is yours in Christ. It doesn't necessarily mean that you will now have a better life or one that's filled with less hardship. The certainty of the hope that has been given you in His promises of eternal life are to be believed, trusted, clung to. So when the devil, the world, or your own sinful flesh whisper in your ear that there's no hope, or that you're suffering because you have a weak faith, look to the cross and point others there as well. Because that's where true comfort is found. For you and for all who die in Christ, death is a conquered and defeated enemy that the Lord will use to deliver you from all hardship and sickness to the holiness of life. Our text declares that the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. For now, in this life, we experience moments that cause us to grieve, but only for a momentary time. Christ has died, and He is risen and will come again to deliver us for eternity. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. You are forgiven of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.